It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss. Lightning Thursday is brought to you by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best kept retirement secret. Good morning, Hendersonville Lightning. Welcome to Lightning Radio here on this Thursday. The Hendersonville Lightning is on the streets. It is in your mailboxes, and it is now on the radio. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, sir. Happy Halloween to you.
Happy Halloween. Congrats to the Nats.
Yes, congrats to the
Melissa
Nats.
Melissa Moss, a second-grade teacher in our nation's capital.
How about that?
Is rejoicing today. And other top of the news, feast or famine, right? So much for the drought.
So much for the drought.
And you've got flooding. We've got flooding closures to talk about.
At least one at Blue Ridge Community College on Airport Road, of course, in between Hendersonville International Airport and Blue Ridge Community College. Of course, that is flooded. Now, this morning when I came through, there were no signs up. Of course, now it's light, so you'll be able to see it. So it was quite surprising to run across that early this morning. But what we've got now is the wind that's cranking up here a little bit. So and leaves covering the road and covering some of the water and some of the flooded areas. So be careful on the road out there today.
Flood, slick conditions, and no near-term end to the rain, is it?
Through tonight, which is why they've moved the Trick-or-Treat Street Carnival to tomorrow night instead of tonight, which was a very wise move. Tomorrow's going to be fantastic.
That'll be real pretty. That's a good idea. Good they can do that, unlike sometimes with the Rhythm and Brews event. They're not able to because the bands can't come.
Exactly.
And so forth. So good news. Yeah, that was on HendersonvilleLightning.com, and I heard that on Qmunity.
All right. So let's get started with some of the hard news. Let's get started with what's in this week's Lightning, your headline right here on the front page. In Flat Rock, drama moves from stage to the campaign trail. It is quite a dramatic campaign going on right now at the Village of Flat Rock.
It really is. We've been talking about it really since before filing, if you consider the formation of a group that has now become this this slate of candidates really trying to take control, would flip the balance of power if the group fundamentally, as a central issue, opposed to the Highland Lake Road widening / safety improvement project. If that slate, led by Ann Coletta and including Tom Carpenter and David Deathrow, were to win on Tuesday, then that will flip the balance of power from 6-1 to 4-3. Because Nick Weedman, who is running unopposed for mayor of the Village of Flat Rock, was the sole vote against that road project in the summer of 2018, as you'll recall. So that and dispute over the village's sign ordinance, which Coletta has really successfully challenged as far as the way it was rewritten in December of 2018, it's not going to be that sign ordinance anymore. Part of that was found to be unconstitutional because it was found to be content based. But what we have today is both of those issues and more in kind of our last swing through the Village of Flat Rock 2019 campaign.
And early voting is going on through tomorrow, if I'm correct, right? Early voting goes through tomorrow, and then of course Election Day is Tuesday, November the 5th.
That's correct. And then, of course, they have not had early voting in the village, unlike usually in general elections. They have four or so sites around the county.
Right.
And the village is one of them. So Election Day will be the day that the rest of the voters who don't go to who don't early vote, and that segment actually has grown to close to 40%, between 30% and 40%, and the Village of Flat Rock is very aggressive in early voting. So we'll see the remainder of those who want to vote vote on I believe it's up till 7:30 on Tuesday night.
And we did some checking to see what sort of numbers there were in early voting, and earlier this week there were about 900 or so who had voted. And we were told that about 75% of those were in Flat Rock. So that was already about 700 votes, which is about as many as we got in the last municipal election.
That's about as many as you'll ever get. That's actually a fairly high turnout. Even,
yeah,
I think
already
4 years ago there was a high turnout of I think 900 or so for Mayor Staten when people not Bob Staten himself, but when people that supported Mayor Staten worried about an opponent that he had that they thought would go rogue. As I recall, it was 900 and some to like 15 or something like that. So.
Yeah.
Prepare for another thing that we put in that basket called unprecedented high turnout for a Village of Flat Rock election, unprecedented, excuse me, high spending, and you might say unprecedented, as Mayor Staten did in the recent meeting, unhappiness and rancor in the village over all this.
Yeah, and speaking of Mayor Staten, you also have a story that has just come out on your website about Mayor Staten and his endorsement.
Yeah, Mayor Staten, came out strongly yesterday afternoon. As we say here in our update, which we just managed to post early this morning, that he issued a strong endorsement of incumbent, and this is the other three candidates against that slate I've already mentioned, of incumbent Ginger Brown and Barbara Platts and Hilton Swing to newcomers to the Village of Flat Rock. Not to the village, I mean, as village council candidates, issued a strong endorsement saying that they are sincere individuals who have the best interests of Flat Rock now and in the future as their number one priority. And you can read, we publish in its entirety, Mayor Staten's statement and his endorsement of that slate that's really trying to sustain the current balance of power on the Village of Flat Rock.
Right. And that's a statement you can read on the website as of right now, right?
It's on the website. Didn't come out in time.
Okay.
Of course, we closed that print issue last page to the press about mid-afternoon on Tuesday. So things that come in, really often things that come in even afternoon Tuesday probably aren't going to make the print issue.
So again, the municipal elections, it's important to get out and have your voice heard. It's important to get out and vote. Every single vote counts.
Vote everywhere. Vote in Fletcher. Vote in Hendersonville. Go vote in Laurel Park where there's no opposition. And vote in Mills River, which has a pretty interesting campaign, as Hendersonville does as well. It's not just the village, but for the magnitude of the town and the usual sensibility and culture of the town, Flat Rock is this year the center of the universe.
It really is. Absolutely. The center of the political universe. And then, of course, in the city, we've got four folks running for two council seats.
And we'll have a new councilwoman. It will be a woman. We'll have a new council member. And there's no question, no matter what, we'll have at least one. It'll be a woman because you got incumbent Steve Carricker and three women, Lindsay Simpson, Debbie Roundtree, and Jennifer Hensley running for that second seat being vacated. By Mayor Pro Tem Ron Stevens.
Also, just to make sure people understand, because I think people have questions about this, at least I know I can. In Flat Rock, you have three running against three, basically. But a reminder that if you are a Flat Rock Village resident, you vote for all of those districts.
Correct.
You don't just vote for your district.
They're like county commissioners.
Yeah.
They run from districts. They must live in a district, and there's District 1, 2, and 3. You're exactly right. But all are voted at large. Hendersonville is there are no districts. All the seats are at large, and the voting is at large. Mills River, so far as I know, there's no district voting at all in any municipality, whether they have districts or not. Some do, some don't.
Right.
But as far as I know, no, there's no district voting in Henderson County, as City of Asheville has and that they've been fussing over with the legislature.
Yep. All right, folks, we're going to take a break, but we'll be back with more Lightning Radio here on Lightning Thursday on WTZQ.
Fletcher Park Inn, an independent Christian retirement community located on 450 beautiful acres across from Park Ridge Hospital, is the best-kept secret in Hendersonville for retirement living. Not a nursing home, Fletcher Park Inn residents enjoy independent living in spacious villas and apartments. Fletcher Park Inn offers everything you need to remain independent, alcohol and tobacco-free. This Christian retirement community welcomes you to visit in person or online at FletcherParkInn.com and see what all the fuss is about. Fletcher Park Inn, now that's retirement living.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of mobile home supplies. Whether you need doors, windows, plumbing, or skirting, Lewis Williams & Sons has anything you need for your mobile home. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 till noon. Lewis Williams & Sons, 692-8216 or online at lewiswilliams.com.
Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village invites you to stop by and discover the Fall 2019 collection of clothing, sportswear, and accessories. Sport coats from Flint, Tom Hudson, and Eisenberg in worsted wool, cashmere blends, and brushed cotton. Pair with Burl, Ballin, Bill's khakis, and Duckhead trousers. Choose sport shirts from Gitman Brothers, Scott Barber, Hout, Viella, and Bugatti. Just in merino wool sweaters in crewnecks and v-necks from Harley of Scotland, Byford, Raffy, and Peter Millar. Visit the store soon and discover the styles and colors for Fall 2019. Joseph Lauder Clothier in Laurel Park Village.
Duraline Imaging, the local company that you can trust as your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business by giving them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301. Relationships matter, and trust must be earned. Trust Duraline Imaging, Upward Road in Hendersonville.
And we're back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, let's move from politics on to another story that is on your website, but not in this week's Lightning, and that is a story of Bright Farm and Seven Falls, the old Seven Falls neighborhood, or what was going to be a huge deal, which turned out to be a huge deal just the other way. So tell us about that story.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
It's such a layered story with, I think we got a nice story on, like you say, HendersonvilleLightning.com, because this just happened yesterday morning. The announcement of this just happened yesterday morning at 11:30 in the morning in the old courtroom of the historic courthouse, in a celebration that attracted the state commerce secretary, four out of five elected county commissioners, and much of the county staff, and the economic development machinery of the county, including kind of the star of it from the Henderson County recruitment point of view, Mark Williams, the executive director of AgHC, which is the economic development agency for farming in the county. So it's a big deal. Bright Farms is, I think, actually New York-based. This will be the sixth, I believe it is, greenhouse operation. They're all greenhouse. They don't plant anything in the ground. And this will be, you know, when you go into the supermarket and go into the produce section and look in often in a refrigerator case, it's the prepackaged irregular. It'll be called spring greens or baby greens or baby spinach. It's those little leaves. And get this, Mark, there's little leaves. And how much does one of those little leaves or even one of those packages weigh? A few ounces,
yeah,
I guess. They'll ship 2 million pounds.
Wow.
They will grow. And this is another really good thing about it. It is a grower. It's what's called kind of all in one place.
Yeah.
It is a grower, packer, shipper. So this will be a big operation under almost 7 acres of either glass. Some of it might be roof because you're going to have some warehousing and a big fancy, I'm sure, packing shed. Not like a lot of the packing sheds that we have out in the county that just do apples. But this will be a year-round operation growing this. Growing these little leaves, these salad greens. Like I say, the sixth one in the country, the first one in the South, and it will serve supermarkets or supermarket distribution centers directly within probably not much more than 2 or 3 hours. They pride themselves on delivering these fresh greens, and they say because they're not coming from California, which the main site scout described described yesterday, that saves a week or so worth of shipping. So it'll be a week fresher, which means when you get it home, it's supposed to last a week longer. And so a good thing. But another element of these layers I mentioned is that, guess where that is? As you mentioned, Seven Falls, in the Pleasant Grove community, the Pleasant Grove communities with Seven Falls has been through a lot, you might say.
Absolutely.
Politically, culturally, and emotionally over these past, what we're talking about now, 12 to 13 years.
Yeah.
With the, as we say in the story, now infamous Keith Vinson and the proposed Arnold Palmer design Grand Golf Resort and River Club with so many, I think more than 1,000 houses and condos in a little urban village and so forth, which really turned out to be just one gigantic white-collar crime fraud about Mr. Vinson, who's now serving a lengthy prison term, last time I checked, in eastern North Carolina in the prison in Butner. So there you have it. This switches, as Nolan Ramsey pointed out, a native of the county and chair of AG-HC. The land, or at least this part of the land, this kind of lowland on the French Broad River, back to agriculture in a very good way, in a high-tech way, a hydroponic way. And one last really interesting element of this announcement is we've had other quite a few, I mean, a handful of other pretty big announcements of ag growing operations, some of it under roof, some not, that did involve packing and did involve shipping. And those are either already in operation. These are all these ones I'm thinking of are in the past 5 years. They're either in operation or they're fixing to be in production pretty soon. But they did not get the Henderson County economic development incentives because they're not paying wages that are more than 10% of the county average for manufacturing wages.
Uh-huh.
Bright Farm did get economic development incentives, and thus, which means it must pay that higher wage with benefits and 401k. This is a big deal.
And 50-some jobs, too, right?
54 jobs as
54.
Well. And a $20 million, thanks for mentioning, and $21 million investment. And sorry, that wasn't the last thing. There's one more.
Yeah.
One more is more on the horizon as a possibility, but and only the Lightning has reported this, along with most of the other detail, is that the Bright Farm operation, which only covers around 31 acres of 147 acres or so that Conserving Carolina bought out there on the river to preserve, didn't need this upland, sold it, got back the money it paid for the property when it bought it, and wants to negotiate, is already whispering to county officials now about if y'all will make this a passive park. In fact, they said kind of modeled on what Flat Rock did with the park at Flat Rock.
Yeah.
Nice walking trails, leave a lot of it natural. Then we'll work with you on that. So it's a great story on about five or six different levels.
Any idea how long it's going to take for them to be in operation?
Yes. First leaf, first seeding, I think is what he termed it. They hope, and this shows you how big, how they'll move fast, they hope to put in the hydroponic greenhouse December of 2020.
Well, okay.
And then it only takes something like, I'm forgetting, that like 30 to 45 days to grow out to, because, you know, they don't let them head up. They're itty-bitty leaves.
Right.
Itty-bitty spinach leaves or any kind of lettuce leaf, and they don't let it grow out. So off it goes. By Easter of 2021, into your Harris Teeter, into your Publix, into your Ingles.
Fantastic. Great story. Great story, and thanks for covering that. Let's move on to let's get back to road construction if we can. The roundabout over on Greenville Highway, the Shepherd Street and Irkwood roundabout. More delays.
A lot of, and when you say get back to road construction, there's a lot of people that are hoping, and the Hendersonville Lightning has gone out there and looked at this probably seven times over the past 10 days to see if anything's going on. Of course, now there won't be for another few days with this big rainstorm. But yeah, the story is, once again, a scoop in the Lightning, HendersonvilleLightning.com, and now in the print issue, that it's delayed. There's a new contract that that they've given the contractor, which is called Graham County Land Company, and the contractor has said, we're pretty sure it'll be open by the end of November. Even then, they don't seem to be giving a hard deadline. We chronicle in the story what's been going on out there in terms of the sewer pipe. Mm-hmm. That was, at first, we heard that it was laid the wrong way or in the wrong direction or it didn't have the right connections to it. Not exactly sure if that part is true, but we did hear from Commissioner Bill Lapsey, who's the transportation czar of the Henderson County Board of Commissioners, secondhand. He told us he had talked to the chief engineer for this area and Western North Carolina for NCDOT, Brian Birch, who said, no, they laid it in the right place. It was okay. Our inspectors, people were accusing the NCDOT of being asleep at the wheel, so to speak, and not inspecting it. Said, no, they were there. It looked okay. Then they covered up with dirt, and it collapsed. And there was a big sag in it, uh-huh. And they knew somehow they could tell that, or they found that out. I guess how they found out, I'm not sure, but going to have to dig up, redo it if they haven't done it already. And from what I can see by riding out there looking at it, they're not working on it very much.
And from what I understand, when it does open, the roundabout will be there, but it will be much later that we'll actually see the landscaping around it taken care of. So it's going to be somewhat bare.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they have in mind. You and I can just imagine when the state of North Carolina opens the first, we got the one out there on Brookside Camp Road, but the first really prominent, high profile for this reason and others, with all the noise about all the road project, when it opens this high profile, much anxiety inducing roundabout, that could be done well or not well. I'm just going to put it that way.
Yeah.
So this idea that it will be open but not marked and not look pretty, I question. But you're right. We've heard the same thing. We report that in this story. So we'll just have to see as we get closer to that promised opening what it looks like.
Well, and the bottom line is it doesn't really matter what it looks like. A roundabout is going to be much safer than what we had there. There were so many accidents that were there. My daughter was involved in one. You know, a lot of people were involved in accidents right there. So it's going to be safer.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. In fact, when I first started looking at it, and I've seen it every time since, that it's a bigger project. It's going to look good, I think, when it's all said and done.
Sure,
A year or a year and a half from now. I mean, when the landscaping is there,
right.
Kind of grown out.
Right.
It's not only going to look good, but it's just way more efficient to move traffic.
Yeah.
And people will adapt to this, and they'll not only adapt, I think they'll end up saying,
glad it's here.
This is way better than it used to be.
Absolutely. I love a roundabout. I totally get you on that. Hey, last week during Lightning Thursday, we were able to announce the Center for Arts and Inspiration's new name, the Center for Arts and Entertainment, and their season lineup. And this week, Flat Rock Playhouse announced their 2020 season lineup, and the Lightning was there.
It was. And it is indeed an exciting lineup. As we say, some plays old, some plays new, some plays tried and true highlight the lineup of the shows for the 2020 season. And people are, I think, going to like this season. I think it's going to ring up the box office. And like I say, there's a lot of familiar things. Now, I don't think we've ever seen a music of Queen tribute. That
right.
Starts out, it's kind of Valentine's
oriented.
Yeah,
Valentine's weekend,
Valentine. Is that We Will Rock You?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know all that.
We Will Rock You.
If
we
it's
are
not
the
country,
yes.
Since 1975, if it's not country, I don't know it unless they play it in football stadiums or basketball stadiums. But, that Donnie Edwards, I know. He's been here I don't know how many times.
He's been here. Been here three times and was not here this year, much to the dismay of audiences. So he is coming back. He is really probably one of the best Elvis tribute artists.
He is, and he's an official Las Vegas headline act,
yeah.
And one of the only, if not the only, tribute Elvis tribute to be invited to play
at Graceland.
Yep. Is that true? At Graceland?
Yep. It's true, yes.
Okay. Another really popular, known by all, and geared toward children, Charlotte's Web, recently named one of the all-time best children's stories. That yep. will be the first of two Studio 52 shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
It celebrates the power of friendship and love in a way children can understand and appreciate. Here's another backed by popular demand show, Million Dollar Quartet. Is that going to have Nat Zegree in it?
Oh, you think they'd put on Million Dollar Quartet
no,
without
not.
Nat Zegree?
So if it's the Million Dollar Quartet and it includes Nat Zegree and
as Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's actually a better Jerry Lee Lewis than Jerry Lee Lewis was.
Exactly. He's even more acrobatic. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
He's got greater flexibility than Jerry Lee Lewis. He probably didn't marry his 13-year-old cousin.
Not as of yet. Not as of yet.
Okay. Steel Magnolias will be, that's a girlfriend show. It's a great girlfriend show. The friendship of six women in good times and bad. People really are going to look forward to it. And these next two, this will break the doors down. A Chorus Line. It's never been done.
I've sort of wondered.
I actually saw that on Broadway along when it was fairly new running, I think. I'm really looking forward to that.
It's been on the list of asks for many years, and it's finally going to be produced.
That's one of those that apprentices will be on board. It's a great fill the stage ensemble show.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's about some of them probably are apprentices, the backup dancers that make big Broadway musicals, right?
What they are, exactly.
Yeah, and their life and the underpaid, underappreciated, unknown, but highly trained, dedicated backup dancers that make these ensembles what they are.
Yep.
And then, get this, has been done there, I think, before. West Side Story.
Oh, yes.
The Romeo and Juliet-inspired love story of Tony and Maria amid the Jets and the Sharks.
Yes.
Gang rivalry. It ranked number one in a recent survey of theater patrons, right?
Yep. I don't remember what year it was. It was a number of years ago, but Paige directed it the first time it was on the stage, and it's coming back. And people were excited. I mean, the cheers of people when we announced that West Side Story.
Oh, yeah. They just cheered. Yeah, there was palpable excitement for that. Another music, the next music on the rock is music of the Rolling Stones, Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Yes, sir.
August 20 to 22. Helen on Wheels, a new comedy based in Crockett, Oklahoma, showing that feisty old ladies have the right to raise hell, bear arms, and play bingo. So I'm excited about. Is that musical oriented as well? It's a comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's A Sizzling Summer Nights, is another musical on the rock. Catch Me If You Can. It's a mystery about a bride's disappearance on her honeymoon. We just finished Smoke on the Mountain.
Yeah.
Country, bluegrass, old time oriented. Well, this year's version under that rubric is Autumn at the Opry, about this time of year as well, October 23 to November 7.
Yeah.
The Hobbit is the second Studio 52 show, November 13 to 21. And then the popular. Back for, it's either, is it a third or fourth year?
Third year, I believe.
Back for a third year, the popular A Flat Rock Playhouse Christmas, November 27, December 20.
Yep. Sounds like a great lineup for 2020.
Great lineup.
So, looking forward to that. And you can catch that online right now at hendersonvillelightning.com. Let's touch on a last story here, Bill, before we wrap up Lightning.
Ask Matt.
Ask Matt.
Yeah. Is back again this week. I get complaints when I have to hold him, and I've held him a few times in the last 6 or 7 weeks, but he's back asking or answering the questions, what's the asking price for that big palace up on top of Pinnacle Mountain? And get this week's Lightning to find out just exactly what that asking price is. Jerry Britton, our popular Mills River base west of the French Broad columnist, is also back this week, along with lots more news we haven't even managed to get to today.
Absolutely. And we just heard from a great friend of the Q and the past marketing director of Flat Rock Playhouse that West Side Story was done 20 years ago. 20 years ago.
I thought it was some long time ago because I've seen many, many of the shows over the past 22 years, but I think I must have missed it because I was trying to
rack
my memory for
it. It was beautiful.
I'm very excited. And that's another huge – can you imagine the Jets and the Sharks with those apprentices?
Oh, man.
All the dancers, those performances, fantastic.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm already excited about both of the – several shows.
And I'm excited at the fact that today's Lightning Thursday, and the Lightning is on the streets and in your mailboxes. So, Bill, where can people pick up their copy of the Lightning?
Any of our Lightning Orange racks, if you can paddle to any of them over the next 18 hours around Henderson County, or by calling, which many, many of Friends of Lightning do, to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on that red tab that says subscribe, walking you through how to join the growing legions of Lightning fans and get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, via U.S. mail in their mailbox or by calling Jan at 698-0407 or by coming to see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This and other episodes of Lightning Thursday are available via podcast at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday. Lightning Thursday is brought to you weekly by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best kept retirement secret.